Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags!
Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people are busting, but everybody else in between. Sunday, bloody Sunday has begun as we unpack and continue to watch the craziest weekend in the history of sports unfold. And we're not done yet. The Kansas City Chiefs have just put points up on the board, and I thought this was Sports Rage. I thought we were kicking with the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people above them, and everybody else in between. I thought it was a late-night anger management class, but I guess it's in-game live right now, isn't it? Because we've got a live football game. We've got a lot of football left. It's just one of those nights tonight. Just the way that it worked out, it is what it is. Jason B. Takafin's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes, kicking it with us live, because he's wired. He's a Red Sox fan, and he's also a very knowledgeable man. Three-time general manager, three-time champion, general manager, Toronto Blue Jays A-ball affiliate. So we got baseball craziness. I don't know what the hell is going on. The Tampa Bay Rays, we're going to roll these guys. Suddenly the Rays are facing elimination tomorrow. You know, things can change in a hurry, can't they? The Chicago White Sox are leading right now, 9-6. Not to mention, listen, the Houston Astros, they were in control of this game early. I don't know, like, you know, you figure, okay, it's done. The White Sox took a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first inning. Then Houston responded with 3 in the second, so it's 3-1. Then they made it 5-1. Then you figure, all right, this thing's done. It's 5-1. Right, this thing's done. They're going to roll over. It's over. No, they responded with 5 of their own. Then they put another 3 spot up. It's 9-6 right now. So we'll keep our eye on this. Jason B. Takafin will join us in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about all the baseball. Red Sox can win the series tomorrow. The Dodgers was a must-win situation on Saturday. The Dodgers stepped up and got it done. Now they got Max Scherzer on the hill on Monday night. We got Monday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills just fumbled the kickoff but recovered it. I tweeted it out. I've said it a million times. I've been watching sports religiously and routinely. I'm a sports fan and a sports fiend, right? Even when I was a kid, I was. Like, in my entire life, there was only really like a 2 or 3 year span that you can catch me. You can catch me. Like, if I was on Stump the Schwab, I'm letting you know my weakness. If I was on Stump the Schwab or something, 1984 to like 1987-ish type thing, 88, like 87 pretty much, it's kind of a blur. And I was in a punk rock band. I was touring and stuff, right? Like, I wasn't, that was like the only few years I really wasn't just watching every game. Like, when I was a kid, I watched every game. I was still following and stuff, but there was no internet in those days, and I was in a band. Right? I was in a band, and I was like sleeping on benches and in vans and in parks and crap-ass motels, not hotels. I don't think we ever stayed in a hotel. Stayed in some motels, and that was a good night. All right, so speaking of good nights, hopefully we have a good night. I don't know, man. Like, even by my standards, I can't even keep up. I don't know. Like, I currently have 49 bets right now. 49 bets. I've got 20 active bets in this Buffalo Bill game. I don't even know how that's possible. I'm scared to look at what I have. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, the degenerates. Are we having fun yet? Absolute madness, craziness. And it all started Saturday morning with the Red River Shootout. An epic comeback. A football game that was so good to Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler said it was the best game that they've ever done before. And those guys have done a lot of good games and a lot of big games over the years. Meanwhile, Mississippi and Arkansas were playing like basketball on a football field at the same point in time. Alabama loses. Listen, there are so many stories that happened that would be a massive story in its own right. But so many things were going on at once. It was almost overkill and it was overwhelming. And Alabama losing, overkill, overwhelming. What? Iowa and Penn State. And how about the Michigan Wolverines? Oh, the Nebraska's going to beat them. Nebraska's offense. Michigan's offense sucks. I can't throw the ball. Get into it. Whatever, man. Go blue. Michigan gets it done. And that was a crazy ending, but that didn't even measure up compared to all the other crazy endings. Oh, yeah, by the way, Fury and Wilder was like one of the best heavyweight fights of all time. And I say that as somebody that had zero interest in that fight going into the fight. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't even watch the first few rounds. I was doing a podcast, and everybody was like, oh, man, you know, this guy's insane. He got knocked down. And I'm sweating out like a UCLA Bruin Arizona football game, man. Said, all right, maybe I better tune into this match after all. And, oh, it was good. Oh, boy. Josh Allen was just intercepted, and now this gets real as far as the momentum, and the Chiefs are getting all fired up. But shocker, there's a flag on the field. Is it roughing the passer? Yeah, that's right, Casey. You can stop your celebrations. Celebration time. Come on. Dun, dun. Hey, there's Frank Clark speaking of the Michigan Wolverines. That's a weak call. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. That's a weak call.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's football. Like, it's easy to put it in slow motion and Chris Collinsworth, shucks. He should have slowed down, Al. Whatever, dude. He's going full speed. What the hell do you want him to do? We got a full house. We got crazy football going on. We got baseball. We got Jason B. Tackett. We got Ian Cameron. We got you, the Rageaholic. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Halfback passes to the center, back to the wing, back to the center. Center holds it, holds it, holds it.
Halfback passes to center, back to wing, back to center. Center holds it, holds it, holds it.
I can't bear this any longer. I'm leaving.
Well, we've got a new Josh Allen gif. Of course, we all remember him jumping over a Minnesota Viking. But, oh, yeah, that was when all you losers said he sucked. He just jumped over a Kansas City Chief, but for a first down. Everybody tries to be – everyone thinks they're like Edwin Moses now. Right? You know what I mean? Well, everyone's like a hurdler in the NFL, but it actually worked. Allen went over him for the first down in a pretty epic move. It's there's 8:45 left in the football game. It's 31-20 for the Buffalo Bills right now. This game still is not over the number yet. All right, it's still not there. Buffalo is moving the football. 9-6 for the White Sox, and they're looking for more. It's craziness, and let's bring it. Things are so crazy. Jason B. Tackett's joining us live right now. He's even on the East Coast. Jason can't sleep. There's just too much stuff going on. Jason B. Tackett, the champion, three-time champion, A-ball, Toronto Blue Jays. He was the general manager. What's going on, Jason? How you doing?
I would say too much going on is like an understatement, and we are in God's country in Montreal. This city misses you, man. It really does.
Yeah, we're going to be back for the anniversary. We look forward to it. The Canadians are playing the Devils. January 15th. The Rageaholic tour. We got five stops, and of course, Montreal is one of them. Vancouver's one of them, and we'll see you. And we got New York, New Jersey, Las Vegas, and Toronto. Those are the five spots. So, like you said, it's overwhelming. Like, I've got a TV and three computers running, and it's to the point. Oh, the White Sox just scored. Wow. All right, let's start there. Yeah. When it was 5-1, Jason, come on. You had to think the series was over tonight. I did.
It was 5-1. I looked at taking the -3.5 prop for the Astros. They had won game one by five games. They won game two by five games. There was no reason for the White Sox to stick around, but then they started to hit. It was 5-1 in the third, became 6-5 White Sox, 6-6 White Sox took the lead in the fourth. They haven't relinquished it. They've been hitting. Their hitting has not been an issue this series. It's their pitching. And their pitching actually kind of right-sized itself after Michael Kopech, after the fourth inning. And they've gone through, now they're about four innings of shutout baseball now. And they have Carlos Rodon starting tomorrow. And Carlos Rodon is probably going to finish in the top 5 or 6, maybe even 7 in Cy Young. That's pretty impressive. Like, they are right back in this series.
They really, it's amazing how things can change. And we'll get to the Dodgers, obviously, after. But Dave Roberts said the same thing. I was reading his quotes, and I don't know if you saw, but he said, because they've got Scherzer on the hill tomorrow, and like,
yeah,
it goes to show that Roberts follows the media and knows. He goes, yeah, it's funny how the narrative has suddenly changed, hasn't it? Because now everyone, all the media, oh, San Francisco's in big trouble. San Francisco's in big trouble. It's like, yeah, it's funny. The other night, the Dodgers, you were bearing the Dodgers, and I know we're all over the place, but so the White Sox, like you said, man, these things, you know, one game at a time, but you get the confidence going back to the park tomorrow. They can really make a series of this.
Yeah, so they had a blackout today, which is pretty cool, where everybody wore black and sort of the orange of the Astros stuck out. I'm colorblind, but I can even see the difference. It was pretty cool. It was good. You know what? I kind of liked it that the White Sox got, it wasn't necessarily Sunday Night Baseball, but they got the Sunday Night game, which is the primetime game. I kind of liked that the Red Sox got the 4 o'clock game Eastern. It kind of put a little...
Well, I was shocked about that because I was so...
This isn't, you know what? It's 17 years ago when the Cubs...
Touchdown Bills. Sorry, Jason. Yeah, we got live touchdown Bills.
That was great.
Emmanuel Sanders again.
Did the overhit?
Yes, sir. It just hit 37-20. It's over, even if they missed the extra point. The game has gone over the number, everybody, by half a point. Even the kicker can't screw it up, but Bass won't miss. He's the man. Wow. Buffalo sending a statement tonight, Jason. They're the best team in the NFL, I think. Well, they're the best team in the AFC. I don't know if they're the best team in the NFL, but they're right there. I'll tell you that.
They're right there. I love the fact that they lost game one to the Steelers, like their rival.
Me too.
At home. And they just came back with, like, a vengeance. Similar to Green Bay. Obviously not the same thing, but the Green Bay loss was a very disheartening loss. Buffalo looks really strong. I love the fact that they came back. This is like...
Look, you're a GM. So imagine the perspective of the Bills. You saw all the ESPN, all the talking heads, NFL Network. Everybody picked this, dude. I was shocked. Even before the game on NBC, Rodney Harrison, Coach Dungy, Buffalo. This is Buffalo's time. Drew Brees said Buffalo's going to roll them. Said Buffalo's the best team. They're going to send a message tonight that they're about to take over. Like, everybody was on the Buffalo wagon, and I liked that they lost in week one. I wasn't happy at the time, but I said, guys, check the tape. I said it after. It's like a coach. You're the GM. You know from that angle that it gets their head out of their ass early. Hey, guys, I know you see all the hype that everyone's anointing you. Dude, they were up 10-0 on the Steelers, and the Bills were laughing on the sidelines like it was 30-0. Right? Like,
yeah.
And I love that they lost, and you've seen. They've had all business since. They're punishing people.
Yeah, and you know what? I like to think that it was the first home game they've had in front of an entire crowd or a full house in about 2 years. And you can always say, well, there's nothing like home cooking in your home crowd. Buffalo, like the Buffalo Bills truly is in the top 5% of North American sports of home field advantage. And like, you can actually feel and see and hear that it's different. It's one of the true places where even you can see it on TV, that the home crowd and the home noise and the connection of the team to the crowd, it's just different. I'm not even a Bills fan, by the way. And like, you can see it. Like, it's just a different relationship that the fans have with the team.
Well, the White Sox have just put another one up. Do you think this matters going into tomorrow, like as far as their confidence and momentum, like just rack up as many runs as you can right now?
100%. They got to get everybody going. I mentioned that hitting wasn't an issue, but the more groove they can get. By the way, a very small narrative in this is that Zach Greinke, who they didn't know was going to pitch in this series because of neck soreness, which is pretty serious for a pitcher, he pitched one inning today, and at the time it wasn't mop-up, but he pitched the fourth inning, gave up two hits, struck out one. It's going to be interesting to see if he's going to be present for Game 5, if there is a Game 5. Because if you can throw out Zach Greinke in a clean inning, and he can get going, you know, He can do what Tanner Houck did in Game 2 for the Red Sox. He can do what Nick Pivetta just did in Game 3 for the Red Sox. He can just go 3 or 4+ shutout innings.
Jason B. Takaffin with us. Wow, I know we're bouncing around from sport to sport, game to game here, but that's it. Dude, it's Sunday night. It's the middle of the night here, essentially, at least on the East Coast for you guys. It's the middle of the night. You know, there's still 6 minutes left in an NFL game. The Bills are kicking the crap out of the Kansas City Chiefs. The White Sox and Astros are still playing baseball right now. And we haven't gotten to the Dodgers series, and we haven't even gotten to the infamous 13th inning. The 13th inning. So let's, how much time before the break? Oh, we got a minute. So we'll hit this on the other side. So let me just set the table. So basically, and I listen, Jason, when you told me we got to talk about the 13th inning earlier, I didn't even know. All right, I'm watching football and all this stuff. I look over, and then I see, I'm like, what the hell? And then I said this. I don't know how many times I've heard announcers that have been in the business, like Chris Fowler, Herb Street, like different guys in different sports, but the boxing guys last night. And then John Schmoltz tonight. John Schmoltz said he's never seen that before, Jason.
Like, yeah.
That's John Schmoltz. I mean, you figure Schmoltz would say, oh, yeah, I've seen that once, and yeah, one time that happened. Like, John Schmoltz says, I don't know. Van Jurgensen said the same thing. He goes, I don't know. Those guys admitted, I don't even know the rule. I've never seen this in my life happen before.
I commend them for it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Because the closest thing there was to it was the Canseco home run.
Yes, off the head. And Schmoltz brought it up. If it's off your head, then it's a home run. But if it hits the ground, it should be a ground rule double. But we're going to get into it and let you explain it to us on the other side. Because the Rays are pissed, and they're bitching on Twitter like they're a fan.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This team is fired up. We came here to play.
All right.
He'll lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it.
Mo, $23 on New York.
It's getting nasty out there. The Buffalo Bills just, like, murder Travis Kelce. And, it wasn't a head-to-head shot. It was a shoulder to the head. Like, but it wasn't a helmet to the head.
He was pretty defenseless.
Nah, it was a deep shot. Like, and Kelsey's a star and a good guy and stuff. And like, but you see the Bills were non-apologetic. You see the Bills mouthing off to the sideline after. Like, yeah, you know. Dude, there's been a couple of near fights. I'll tell you what, as a Bills fan, and I am Gabriel Morenci, we're kicking it with Jason B. Takaffin right now, former general manager with the Vancouver Canadiens, Toronto Blue Jays A-ball affiliate, three-time champion. But, dude, the Chiefs beat the Bills last year in a regular season, and then they beat them in the playoffs in the AFC Conference Championship game, and they're pretty cocky about it, right? So it's literal payback. The Bills had this circled, and it's worked out for them. And not, they're killing them on the scoreboard, and now like they're starting to like cheap shot them and beat them up on the way out. And look, there's another one. Like they're not stopping. Like this, it's nasty. I got a million props going on right now, Jason. But we'll get back to the props in the game. I'll keep people caught up to date.
Let me ask you, Gabe. Forget about like someone running into the crowd. But does this game have Malice in the Palace feel at this point? It's a team that lost in the conference championship the year before. This is an early season statement game, and it is getting very ugly and chippy out there. Like, very ugly and chippy.
I do believe that you're in a sense that I don't think anyone on the Bills is going to go in the stands, but if I was the Bills security and they have security with them, right now I'd be saying, guys, like, people are going to be throwing beer cups at us at the minimum on the way out here type thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just smoke Kelce. You're going after Mahomes. Like, you know what I mean? Kelce's out of the game, guys. Like, they just smoked him in the head.
Yeah, he's just standing there right now. I mean, if you're a Bills fan, they just put up 38 during a monsoon.
Oh, my God. This just killed the total. I have an in-game total now. What the hell just happened? Oh, and the Bills got the ball back. Oh, wow. Like, they're really, like, now it's just, now it's just, all right.
Listen, they're not going to kneel. They're not going to kneel. They are going to hang another touchdown on them.
I need Mahomes over 308.5 passing yards. He's at 272. So 28 and 9. I need 37 passing yards. If I get the ball back.
They go deep right now. Yeah. They go deep. And this game could get very ugly.
Now, if the Bills try to score a touchdown and throw a bomb, it'll get interesting. Okay, so the Tampa Bay Rays are pissed off. Tell everybody what happened. You're the best to explain it. And I've got the definition of the rule here as well. Jeff Passan tweeted out the definition of the rule. So what is the, what the hell happened? Like, so just the ball hit off the wall. Go ahead.
The 13th inning, runner on first base. Kevin Kiermaier's on first base for Tampa Bay Rays. A double is hit. It hits the wall, hits the ground, hits Red Sox right fielder J.D. Martinez's leg, and he kicks it into the stands, which would effectively make it a ground rule double because it went into the field of play and then into the stands. Now, the fact that it was an opposing by the rule book, and you can read the rule in a second, like by the rule book, it is a ground rule double. Kiermaier has to stop at third. The run should not score. Had he not kicked it into the stands, Kiermaier would have easily scored. And you can make the argument, well, the Red Sox had a two-run home run in the bottom of the 13th, they would have lost. Anyways, it doesn't really work like that. And the inning wasn't over. So the Rays could have poured it on. At the time, I'm a huge Red Sox fan. I even had the Red Sox minus 1.5 in this game. At the time, I was okay. This isn't right. There should be the umpire should be able to review a play and with the use of instant replay be able to have a judgment call on, okay, what just happened here? This is beyond the scope of the rules, and what would have happened if this very, very hyper unusual play didn't happen? I posted on Twitter. It reminded me of the Tony Clark ground rule double in game 5.
Oh, yeah.
Up the ninth inning in 2004, where it hit the wall twice, and Ruben Sierra would have scored from first, but he didn't. And that's because of the rules of law. Here, it was a defensive player who kicked it into the stand. For me, the umpires should look at the rules, confer with each other, look at instant replay, and then say, look, that should have counted. That run should have counted. And they can put the guy at second base. It goes against the rules. There should be a little bit of leniency for these really odd rules that happen when a defensive player kicks it into the stand.
It clearly wasn't deliberate, right? It's not like he deliberately...
It wasn't deliberate. It wasn't deliberate, but at the same time, he has to be able to have control over himself. Now, if he would have, let's say, caught the ball and then jumped over the fence or hopped over the fence and taken away a home run and then he drops it, it's a home run, right? As in, he took the ball from, in play to over the wall, it would have been a home run.
Listen, somebody in our chat, Jason... Chris has a good point. So now if you're an outfielder, you think it's going to be a triple, boot the ball over the wall? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's why you use the umpire's judgment. You can say, so it's kind of like in that scenario, it's kind of like tripping when there's an empty net goal in hockey, where you can say, okay, well, you obviously circumvented the rule of law. It wasn't intended to be used for that purpose, and the refs can.
But the rules were the rules. You're right. It's two bases. So he goes from first to third, right?
I know. The rules are actually very clear. It wasn't designed for a scenario like this in a division series, game 3, 13th inning. It wasn't designed for this situation. It was designed for Jose Canseco getting a home run off his head with 5,500 people in attendance in an old Cleveland Municipal Stadium. Right? Like it wasn't designed for this type of play. Hopefully they rewrite it and again put a little bit of leeway or a little bit of softening into the umpire's hands.
As a Buffalo Bill fan,
if there's no instant replay, yeah. This is the minor leagues, you say you have to go by the rule of law because you can't look at it again. Right?
I don't even think they would have known the rules. I know.
Like. Right. No, and there's also two of them, so they would have been like out of position. But here they would have been able to hear with.
I don't think
have to take advantage of this.
I don't think Tampa got screwed. I think it's bad luck. It's bad luck, but by the definition of the rules, they didn't. Would he have scored? Yes. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't. And the rule is Rule 5.05-05A, Amendment 8, whatever. Rule of any bounding fair ball is deflected by the fielder into the stands or over or under a fence on fair or foul territory, in which the case the batter and all runners shall be entitled to advance two bases. It's pretty clear, like you said, Jason. It's not even really debatable.
It is pretty clear. The other debatable, it wasn't necessarily on this play, but if it was, let's say, a 3-2 count or the runner was moving, and if he would have been at second base already, and you see that argued quite a bit during the regular season when there's either a super fast guy, it's a high looping ground rule double, but in this instance, that wasn't the case. It just, you're right in the sense he got screwed. All I'm saying is that I think the rule needs to be looked at, and they need to be able to put a little bit of reality and a little bit of common sense into the umpire's hands. And in this instance, because it went off the defender, it didn't go off the wall twice, it went off the defender, they should be able to be able to say, okay, let's talk about this, let's use instant replay as a tool, and that's it.
All right, so that aside, how the hell are your Boston Red Sox here? I told everybody, and I was wrong. I was like, the Rays are going to roll them. And I bet on game one. It was like, like, you know what I mean? It was like, right. The Rays. I wasn't laughing at the Red Sox, but I was like, this is going to be short work here. And here we go again. Red Sox magic. They're just sort of finding that. Fenway was really rocking tonight. And it's so fair about that play. They still won the baseball game. There were other opportunities for the Rays. And suddenly the Red Sox are in control. Like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I'm still, you know, the reason why the Red Sox are here is that their bullpen, their much maligned bullpen, in 8 innings today gave up 1 earned run. In 8 innings in game 2, they gave up 1 earned run. And the Rays won game 1 5-0. And the Rays were up 5-2 at the end of 1 in game 2. And then after that, Tanner Houck came in. He's a first-rounder from the Boston Red Sox in 2017. He looks like a right-handed Chris Sale if you just looked at him, but it feels very much like a David Price 2008, Andrew Miller 2016, where a guy can come in and throw 3 or 4 innings, and he is just like this monster uber reliever who can come in and change the tone of the game. Tanner Houck went 5 innings, didn't give up a thing, and it allowed the Red Sox to get back in the game and win by 8 runs. And Chris Sale, of all people, he of the 7 straight top 6 Cy Young finishes from 2013 to 2018, he, of all people, only went 1 inning, gave up 5 runs, gave up a grand slam. And yet the Red Sox won that game by 8, thanks to their bullpen, thanks to Tanner Houck. And in game 3, I think Nate Eovaldi got the quick hook, ironically, just like he got in the wild card game. Nate Eovaldi went 85 pitches through six innings. He was the first Red Sox starter in this series to go past 5 outs. And I thought that he should have stayed in the game. They had angled themselves to get Eovaldi in game 3, but they took him out, and the bullpen pitched amazing. And now you have Eovaldi who can come out of the pen also in game 5. And there's one thing Alex Cora knows. He's really good at managing the bullpen. He's really good at sort of knowing which buttons to press, when to be able to be a little bit more aggressive, when to not. And today was pretty aggressive, and it paid off.
Jason B. Takafin with us. All right, Jason, before we get you out of here, we'll take a look at the overnight.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Numbers. I'm super excited and fired up. I'm going to game 3. Dodgers and Giants. Max Scherzer versus Alex Wood. We'll get Jason's thoughts on that. And the other games on the board. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Late night anger management class continues. Bring it. Wow. Buffalo Bills roll the Kansas City Chiefs 38-20 is the final score. It was the Josh Allen show. It's amazing. You look at the box score here. I got to tell you, Jason B. Takafin with us. He's a baseball general manager, but he knows sports. And he also worked for the UFC. What did you do with the UFC? You were in the one of the executives, marketing. What did you do with the UFC?
Yeah, I did. I was on the business side in the Canada, Australia, and New Zealand office. Is I did pay-per-view contracts and management and the event marketing for all three of those countries.
So you must have dealt with my boy Anthony Ciccone and Len Asper, right, over the years?
Amazing people. I love doing Fight Network. I was on the team that helped bring them in. Terrific people.
If you remember, and listen, I understand it's business is business and everyone has different decisions, but I got to tell you, man, I was at the Fight Network from the early days, okay? And, it was basically a brick wall, man, like in the middle of nowhere, like off of Danforth or, I don't know, like Bloor West. That was it. Like, you know, it was Etobicoke or something. They had like a brick wall. And, dude, like 4, 5, 6, 7 years later, you know, I had the rights to the UFC, and it was really humming. It was a good network. Like, Robin Black was super popular. Look at John Pollock's wrestling show on Patreon. The guy's like, he's one of the biggest guys online. Like, the wrestling show, like, Pollock's great at what he does, real pro. Ramdean had him and Ramdy had a great chemistry. My show, MMA Meltdown, was very popular. I was on once a week. I did the MMA Meltdown, and I was on Saturday nights before the pay-per-views with the best bets. Like, you know, there was a little bit of wrestling. They had all kinds of, like, fighting. Like, the Fight Network was really kicking ass for a couple of years.
Yeah, they did really well. Not only that, but one of their mandates, or at the very least, one of the strengths they had is they made great documentaries. And they were great.
Oh yeah, interview long pieces. Yep.
Someone like Robin Black could break down a fight and not just like in the watch out for the dirty boxing. He can like break it down in 7 to 8 minute segments, and he's talking at a very high level. And I mean, obviously, the Fight Network, you're dealing with very high level, knowledgeable people. It was a pleasure to work with them, and they definitely added quite a bit to the P1 fans of the UFC. It kind of it allowed for the live stuff to be on TSN, and it was a very good compliment. It was a very good compliment to the live coverage because they were able to break it down.
Oh, that was
so
great.
Well,
it was good too. As it went on, I'm sure it pissed you guys off. I know the data hates that stuff. When networks buy the rights to thing and then they don't want to show certain cards type, you know what I mean? Because it's like, wow,
yeah,
man.
I wasn't part of that. I was actually on the team that had to help bring in Fight Pass. And Fight Pass was tricky because Fight Pass got live content. So like Conor McGregor in 2014, before he blew up, when he co-mained an event in Dublin, where he was a main event in Dublin, and that was live on Fight Pass. Like, our subscription literally multiplied by, like, 5,000%. That's not an exaggeration. Like, wow. It was literally incredible. And the networks weren't pretty happy about that because they were the first ones paying for the content. They wanted that stuff. And that's the thing they pay for. And there was always, not so much in Canada, but, you know, around the world, there was, you know, there's kind of questions being asked about, well, why don't we get that stuff? How come you're putting it behind your paywall? And not, you know, we charge our cable providers and we charge our fans for this. And that's what we should be getting. They didn't take into account that there was going to be a Fight Pass with live content, not just the historical elements of it.
Oh, no, great stuff. I remember the Fight Pass in its early days. Jason B. Takafin with us. All right, so let's start off with the Dodgers. As I stated, I'm going to this game, Jason. I'm really fired up. It's going to be pretty cool. First time San Francisco Giants ever played the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium in a playoff game before. I want to go for a couple of days and, you know, to both games and stuff, but I got a million shows and there's a domino effect and my plan is, whatever, to go again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I hope they win and I'll check in again down the road in a couple of weeks, but big game tomorrow, man. I don't want to say it's a must win, but it's just so difficult to imagine like, you know, winning a couple of games in a row against either team, right? Like, if the Dodgers, this is their Dodgers' chance. Like, it's not going to be easy for San Francisco if they're down 2-1 knowing, man, we got to beat these guys twice now, two times in a row. Massive game. Obviously, the advantage with Scherzer, but how do you feel about Scherzer? He gave up 11 runs in his last two regular season starts, and then in the wild card, he got pulled earlier, and no one gave Roberts credit for that, but he would have got ripped if it blew up, but it worked out for Roberts. So he hasn't been on top of it. He wasn't bad in the wild card game, but you know what I mean? So he hasn't been on top of this game. Yeah, what do you expect from him tomorrow? Like, is he going to step it up tomorrow and give us that Max Scherzer start at home tomorrow? We should note, though, guys, they've never lost with him starting. They're 12-0. They keep winning, though, when he starts.
Last week when we talked, I said I find it very hard to envision Max Scherzer pitching three straight four games. And now it's been about 2.5. I would consider that, you know, when you have high standards like Max Scherzer, when you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, the goalposts just get moved back. That's just the situation. If the Dodgers cannot win a game where it's Max Scherzer against Alex Wood in Dodger Stadium, they will
lose. We got problems.
And listen, I say this with respect to Alex Wood. He is part of the former Dodgers rotation mafia. Kenta Maeda, Alex Wood, Hyunjin Ryu, Ross Stripling, Rich Hill. They were on the team as of all two years ago. It's a pretty good rotation right there, by the way. All of them are gone. All of them were not on the team when they won the World Series. And I would say that Alex Wood, he just needs to be a little bit crafty. He's actually very Clayton Kershaw-esque a little bit, where he's kind of like, you know, he's very, very crafty. He's a lefty. The Dodgers should blow them out here. I know how silly that sounds with two teams over 100. You have Max Scherzer against Alex Wood. You have a ton of momentum. You just put up 9 in a stadium that's very difficult to hit in 18 teams.
Bellinger. Did Bellinger come alive? Did you like that with Bellinger?
He did. He's had a really tough year. He's one of those guys. He's making $16.1 million. He's one of those guys who, by the rules of arbitration, I know the CBA could change. The rules of arbitration says a player can make no less than 85% of his current base salary off of arbitration. His numbers could go down because if he doesn't sign a long-term contract, his arbitration numbers could be reflective of the poor season he's having. And that's very unusual for a guy who won Rookie of the Year and a guy who won MVP in his first 2 out of 3 years in the majors. But he definitely showed up with a big two RBI knock in the sixth inning in Game 2, really kind of. When you have a good bullpen like the Dodgers, if you can get a 2 or 3 run lead going into the last third of the game, that is absolutely enormous. If you're a Giants fan, the place is going to be absolutely electric. Again, I can't envision Max Scherzer pitching 4 bad starts in a row. They're 12-0 with him on the mound. This should be a victory for them. It really, really should be. If it's not, they're in really, really big trouble.
And I don't want to see Logan Webb again. Like, you want to talk about a nasty, epic postseason performance. How about that? Did you watch Breaking Bad, man? He looks like that Todd scumbag on Breaking Bad. He looks like that. He's got the same face. Like, it's exact. Like, if Todd was a big league pitcher, it's Logan Webb. And he's got that face. And he was unhittable, bro. I don't want to see that guy again. The Dodgers need to handle their business tomorrow. And then, I don't know, like, are they going to throw him out in Game 4? I guess it would be Tuesday. So when did he pitch? No, Friday. It would be too soon, right?
It took the pitch Friday. I don't think Gabe Kapler is going to show a lot of urgency in Game 4. He has not. He has a very.
You're right.
He has a very veteran team.
It's only 3 days too. Yeah.
Bryant. You bring in winners for these situations, right? Like you bring in Chris Bryant. You have Buster Posey, Evan Longoria. You bring in those types of guys, you lean on them when the going gets tough. Johnny Cueto, you bring in those guys so that when you're in trouble, you can rely on them. I don't think he's going to show urgency at all. In fact, I would expect them to split, and as a fan, I would love to be able to go into a Game 5. The tricky thing with Logan Webb... Yeah, listen, I would love to see. They can win Game 3 for your sake when you're there. They can win in Game 5, then you can go back for the NLCS and then back for the World Series.
Jason B. Tackerman, man, time's just flying by. It's why we call it the quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. So let's blast through this. Jason, Brewers and Braves. So Jason says you're going to lay the 1.5 tomorrow. Dodgers roll. So let's jump over to the Brewers and the Braves. We got a series here. We got some afternoon baseball, too. Atlanta Braves -112 with Ian Anderson on the hill against Peralta. And my handicap coming into this series was basically when everyone talked about the advantage that the Milwaukee Brewers had on the bump, I said, you know what? I got no problem with Morton. I think Max Fried's really good, and Anderson's an X factor. But the fact of the matter is, Anderson was very good over his last four, five, six starts. He was good down the stretch. And the Braves have better hitting. What's Milwaukee hitting in this series? Like 183, 187? Like, they can't hit. Like, are they done? What do you think of tomorrow's game in this series right now? We got about 3 minutes before the break here.
I don't think they're done. I mean, I took them to win the World Series at the beginning of the season. Listen, Milwaukee's third in the NL in ERA, third in holds, fifth in whip, first in strikeouts, sixth in earned runs, fourth in saves. They're fifth in the least homers allowed. This is a pitching-centric team. When a link on the chain breaks, like Devin Williams, who's the Rookie of the Year last year, who pitches their eighth inning, when that goes away, it kind of throws everything askew. I'm still confident in them. They are a great organization. They are very good. I think they can steal one and then go back to the madhouse in Milwaukee. I would take Atlanta tomorrow. Milwaukee's just not a hitting team. They brought in Willie Adames. They brought in Rowdy Tellez. They brought in Vogelbach for a little bit of power. They need to be able to play small ball. And in the seventh inning, they put on two guys. In the eighth inning, they put on two guys. In the ninth inning, they put on two guys. And they lost the game because they didn't cash anybody in. That is unacceptable. Like, you have to be able to cash one or two of those guys in early and then hopefully get a hit late. And it just shows that they're just not designed to be playing from behind. If the Braves get an early lead, it's going to be big trouble for the Brewers.
Jason, all right, your Red Sox. So I'm seeing TBD versus TBD. The game's a pick 'em. You guys, so what do you think they're going to do as far as pitching the Red Sox? The Rays almost doesn't matter, right? They just roll anybody out, and, you know, they don't really have long starters anyways. But how are the Red Sox going to approach this?
I think they're going to, per ESPN, they have Eduardo Rodriguez starting. Listen, I'm with you. I don't even think it matters who starts. I think you're going to see Tanner Houck in the game, maybe even by the third or fourth inning, or the first time that Eduardo Rodriguez gets in trouble. They do not want to go back to Tampa. They do not want to have to face a rested bullpen. When you are a bullpen team like Tampa and you get a day off, they are probably very dangerous no matter what happens in game four if they're able to win it. Because of the Red Sox, they're going to throw the kitchen sink very much at game three, that 18-inning game, the 2018 World Series, where they just put Eovaldi in for 7 innings. They're like, no, we're going to try to win this now.
Tampa's you can't really trust Chris Sale either, right? It's not like, oh, we could have Sale in game five, right?
Sale, I'm going to say, is going to start game five because he is rested because he only threw one inning. But he's, you know, in a different world, he would have been sort of taking the rest of the year off. He doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
I know he had a very good regular season numbers, but he's not Chris Sale. Chris Sale had 200 inning seasons. He led the league in complete games twice. That's Chris Sale. This is not the Chris Sale right now.
Jason, welcome.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
People find you online, and he's going to join us later in the week when we get him on TV. Where's your podcast, Jason?
Absolutely. At IBWAA Podcast and at Jason B. Backer.
Delete that anger management class. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class. Man, that was excellent stuff with Jason B. Takafin. Man, I had so many plays in this game. They're starting, my account is starting to fill up again right now. But wasn't the day that I thought and I hoped. I got to be honest, baseball got me. We did very well with football, but baseball. And I've been betting bigger units, and I should have laid off and went smaller on the baseball games tonight. But I jumped in, and I was wrong with both of them. I was wrong. I went 0-2 in baseball tonight. I took the Tampa Bay Rays. They lost. And I took the Houston Astros. and they lost. And the worst, the Astros were up 5-1, so I thought they were going to win. And the Rays, I didn't think the Rays would lose. Like, this is real. The Rays actually face elimination right now. That was awesome stuff. I'm Jason B. Tackerfin live with us. Real cool. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Bob Bano, joins us a little bit later on. We'll get into the football lines. We'll do an odds check for the NFL. Week 6, kind of crazy to say that. Is it week 6 already? Really? Today's week 5, huh? Maybe, well, you know what? It's a little late to do a poll question, but we'll ask the psychos in our chat. Who's the best team in the NFL right now? We played more than a month. You know what I mean? Like, we played 5 games right now. What, there's 17 games, so what are we at? Like, you know, next week it'll be less than 33% of the season. A third of the season's gone. Right? Like, it's not definitive yet, but I tell you what, the Chargers, that was an impressive win for the Chargers. The Chargers are very reminiscent of the Bills because you got Herbert, who's very dangerous. The Chargers can get down the field quickly, right? And Staley's a good coach. They have a lot of skill on defense. The Chargers are a dangerous team in the AFC. I don't think they're on the Bills level quite yet, but, and you can't discount the Browns, even though the Browns lost. That was a bad loss for the Browns today, though. You know, to me, that was a bad loss for the Browns because the Browns, you had the Chiefs on the ropes in week 1, and you let it get away from you. There's a common theme here when you guys are going on the road in which you're falling apart in the second half against good teams. Like, you know what I mean? Like Cleveland, it's a couple of times now where it's like, yeah, you guys played great for 3.5 quarters, but you didn't finish the job. It's hard to learn to win in the NFL. There's levels to this stuff. Bring it!
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.